Say, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, 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 never be the same. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I won't have you confess the other part. Just go to Philippians chapter 4, read the whole chapter, and let it wash your mind. Be renewed in your mind. Amen. Such a privilege to stand before you. I was, Pastor Lucille was sharing about Jacob and Desiree. She was talking about them last night. I think it was last night. They just love you. She might have said it Friday night. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, they just love you. I'm like, you're jealous. But anyways, it's funny. You can smile. Hallelujah. I'm just thankful for what God is doing. I love to see him move and work in people's lives. And to be a part of it, or just to have a small portion. You know, Lord, I'd rather just to be in your house at the door as an usher, as a greeter, as a gatekeeper. I'd rather be there than dwelling in the tents of the wicked. I have too much to share and not enough time to share it, and I have too many things up here that will only delay the process. Turn with me, if you will, though, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This whole month of January, as you'll see in our bulletin, we've been focusing in on the new thing, God doing a new thing within our lives. And every year you might hear that passage, or you might hear other passages that are spoken throughout the body of Christ. And I believe, you know, one of the main things or main reasons for speaking things like that is because, you know, any good shepherd or good leader would want the best for his people, just like a good parent would want the best for their children. And so it's not building up on false hope, but building up on the hope that is revealed to us through Christ Jesus, who is the hope of glory, and the solid scriptures which we can rest assured and build our lives upon. We can still hold fast to the word that says God's word will not return to him void, but will accomplish what he pleased and prosper in the thing that he sent it. And we just happen to be one of those things that he sends his word to, and we believe that it has to accomplish the will of God and prosper. So we speak God's word to you. And, you know, when you're starting a new year, you know, it's like getting a fresh start. And we might hear, you know, the common person say that, and it's like, yeah, we might hear a motivational speaker say that, and it's like, yeah, fresh start, fresh start, fresh start. But that's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And that's what you get every morning that you wake up, a fresh start in Jesus. Jeremiah said it like this: your mercies are new every morning. Every morning you can wake up to a fresh batch of baked mercy. Hallelujah. The aroma of it fills the room. And you can just arise. Yesterday may have been your worst day ever. But like the psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but is coming in the morning. And so not only is there new mercy, but there's joy that's coming with it too. As a matter of fact, David says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And so we rightly so try and give you the word, because it's the word that we must live by. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, the scripture says he had fasted 40 days and nights, and afterwards he was hungry, and that the devil came and tempted him. But Jesus didn't bow to the devil's temptations. He stood firm on the word of God. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Every word. So that means the counsel that has come from God's mouth, the counsel that is recorded in his word, is for us to live by. You read in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 11, where God says, you know, obey my voice, obey my commands. I'm paraphrasing it because I can't quote it verbatim. But if you obey my word, then you will be wise and be understanding. And then he says, and then all the nations will recognize that you are a wise and understanding people. And why will they say this? Not because you went to Harvard, not because you went to Yale, not because you went to DVC, not because you went to LMC, not because you went to Pitt High, Antioch High, Deer Valley High, or all those other highs out there. No, you will be wise because of my word that is in you. You will be wise and understanding because of my word in you. Not just in you, because anybody can take information and store it up, but it's when you act on the information that you have received. And life itself is the test to see whether you have learned what God has instructed you, whether it be by me sowing seeds of life to you right now, or you studying to show yourself approved unto God, a workman or a workwoman who needed not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth, because you can get in this word just like the fivefold ministry gift can get in this word. Hallelujah. You got the word. Amen. The word is written for you in your own language or dialect so that you can get understanding yourself. In some circles still today, where they will speak in Latin. It's just like going to a movie theater. And that was one of the things that I kind of repented of, because the movie that Mel Gibson did, The Passion of the Christ, it was a good movie. And to this day, it's still good and still speaking because of how he depicted the actual persecution and beating and then the crucifixion, but it was written in Latin, or they spoke in Latin, if you will. And so I'm coming with the understanding that they're going to be speaking in English. I didn't come and pay that money to go into that theater and read the ticker across the bottom. Was anybody else like that? Well, I was going to say, or else I was the only one that needed to repent. But it's like, you know, I want to hear them talk in English. But he did it, and that was fine. But the thing of it is that there are in some circles, and it was in times past, where they would speak in Latin, and the people had no understanding of it, and they still go through their ritual, thinking that they've done a service unto God and to the people. But the people walk out just as ignorant as they came in. But now we have the engrafted, implanted word of God that is able to save our soul. We have that word at our disposal, and it is just as powerful. Read what the writer in Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, when he spoke it, and how it's written in the Amplified translation. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. And, beloved, when that word comes into your ears and trickles through your mind and sinks down into your heart, it does not lose its power. It's like the blood. How many of you know that song about the blood? It will never lose its power. The word will never lose its power. How do you know this? Jesus said this. You look it up. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. My word will remain. And it's that word that we base our life on, because Jesus says, man shall not, and all he did was quoted what God told Moses, and Moses told the children of Israel, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If that's how we're going to live, then we got to know it. and thank God for the revolutionists who broke through the traditions of men and made it possible for the average believer to have the power of God's word at their disposal. You got in your hand, in your lap, on your iPhone, your whatever kind of phone, on your iPad or your whatever tablet kind of thing that you have, you've got the ability to take that word right into that tablet of yours, that phone in your, and be able to read it on a daily basis. You can be reading that word and meditating on that word and speaking that word over your life on the way to an interview, on the way to a business deal, on the way to the hospital, on the way to see a loved one, on the way to see somebody incarcerated. You can take that word and you can get that word into your heart and be so full, and that word will not lose its power. You don't diminish the authority or power of God's word. Your faith will, but you don't. What do I mean by that? See, the word is not prejudice. The word don't have no skin color. The word don't care about what your ethnicity is. The word doesn't even care about what everybody thinks about you. The word doesn't care whether you're a homeless person or someone who lives in a castle. It'll work for that homeless person. Take them out of the homelessness and the misery and bring them into the fulfillment of the power and the authority of God's word. God's word is a transformer. Anybody like the underdog? I'm not talking about the cartoon underdog, although I learned a lot from the cartoon underdog. Simon Bar-Sinister always wanted to rule the world. But does anybody like the underdog? The underdog is that person that nobody gives a chance to win or to accomplish anything. And the reason you like or you're for the underdog is because he or she has so many obstacles to overcome in order to make it. And when they make it, it is so sweet and so powerful and so effective. It's better than somebody that's always been on the top all the days of their lives. Because they ain't got a struggle. They don't know what it is, the hills and the valleys. All they know is they've been up there all their lives. But when a person comes from the bottom and works their way up, it's like, oh, praise God. Everybody rejoices in the underdog. Hallelujah. Everybody rejoices in somebody that overcomes obstacles. Glory to God. Everybody's got a story to tell. It is the power of God's word that makes the difference in all of our lives. God's word says this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Let me read a few verses with that. And I'll tell you when I get to verse 17, because I'm reading to you from the Message translation. First of all, the writer says, because of this decision, so he's in the middle of a thought, he's in the middle of a context or passage of scripture, and we will not take it out of context. We'll keep it in line with what's there. But he's like, as a result of this, or because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. James had something to say about that. And to put it in today's translation, it's like if somebody comes in that door and they're all smelly, hair all matty, or, you know, they're not pleasant in their body odor. They don't look like they've got anything good going for them, and they come in the door. And then all of a sudden, we just decide to put them way in the back so that they don't disturb anybody. And then somebody comes in dressed all royally. Pastor Lewis said, I've never seen a woman who could take a scarf or something and wrap it around her and make it look so elegant. I'm like, that amazes me. It does. I'm not making it up. It just amazes. She can take some rags and just wrap it around her, and it's like, man, side trip. But the point of it is that somebody comes in dressed very elegantly, meticulously, royally, if you will. And then all of a sudden, oh, we know you got big bucks. Come on up here and sit up front. James says, that ain't right. That ain't right. You judge that person by what they look like, just like you judge this person by what they look like. You judge them as somebody special, so you put them up front, and you judge them as somebody that's an outcast, so you put them way in the back. And he says, that's not right. So Paul says, we have decided that we don't evaluate nobody by how they look or what they have. He says, we looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. Your translation says something like this: we once regarded Jesus according to the flesh, but that wasn't the right thing to do. So we don't do that anymore. He says, we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. I know some of us have heard that scripture so many times that it no longer has the oomph or the impact or the effect. But every time you make a wrong decision, every time you cut somebody off, every time you offend somebody, every time you open up your mouth and say something hurtful, every time you blow it, you come short of God's glory, this scripture will help you out. It says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creation. He gets a fresh start. Every day you get a fresh start. Paul said this. He says, though the outward man is perishing, decaying, or fading, yet the inward man is renewed. How often? People search high and low and pay all kinds of money searching for the fountain of youth. How do I stay young? How do I keep that young look, that young vibrancy, that young activity and things like that? How do I do that? And the child of God's got the answer. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Every day. Every day. I blew it yesterday. Well, today is a brand new day. Every day. Every day. And with this mindset, it starts to bring me into who I am instead of who I was. You know, if I keep reminding you of all of your failures, you're going to feel condemned every day. You're going to feel so condemned. It's like, man, no help, no hope, no, you know, and you just feel like a beaten horse. Don't even want to race no more. Don't want to run no more. Don't want to do anything. But if you know that every day is a new day, every day is a fresh start. You don't even have to wait for a whole new year to come around, but the timing is perfect in who you are. And with the newness, it's like freshness and original, as I put in here, formation. Now, an original is not a copy. It's an original. Thus, that's why we say it's an original. If you have a painting and it's an original, and then somebody puts something next to it that it's a copy, that copy might look similar, but it's not the... Which one has more value? And that's who we are. We are better off than Adam was. We look many times and say we have the same as what Adam had before. We're better off than Adam. How so? First of all, Adam blew it. And in his blowing it, a whole creation fell with him. The second Adam, or the second man, we know as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, didn't blow it. And therefore, he starts a whole new creation. And that's the creation that we are of. We're not of the Adamic any longer. And that's something that we have to understand and receive and live in. We're not trying to be that old man anymore. Leave that old man behind. And then renew these thoughts so the thoughts catch up with the new man in Christ. If you do nothing about this up here, it will constantly think of the old while your spirit man is trying to take you into the new. You are a new creation altogether. He says it like this: old things pass away. All things become new. And all things are of God. And that puts us in a whole new category. Want to know more about it? Come back next week. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. This means that God the Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has been granted ownership, redeemed by Jesus' blood, of our lives to invent or create a new creation altogether. This may not mean much to some, but think about being incarcerated for life for a crime you did commit, or weighed down by a long, painful illness that you brought on yourself, or starving for food because you blew your money gambling, or on a cold, wintry night you had no place to stay and no clothes to wear because you were fired from your job due to drug use. Then all of a sudden, someone comes into your life and says, "I'm going to give you a fresh start." That's what Jesus does. Hey, to every individual, he comes and gives you a fresh start. You can begin again. You can start over. You can start new. Now, you know how you treat new things in the natural. Get a new car. Somebody said it the other night, Friday night. You get a new car. Deacon Aquino, was it you preaching? Good word. Amen. I didn't tell you Friday night, but good word. Everything was good that came forth. You get a new car, you park it at a distance where nobody else parks because you don't want nobody to ding it. You want to hold on to that new car smell as long as you possibly can. You even go to the auto store and try and find that smell so you can maintain that new smell. Every time you get into that car, once a year I send the car to be detailed because of the dirt. It's light color interior, so it'll show up dirt easier. But just to try and maintain, we try and take care of something new. If it's new clothes, we try, you know, to keep it as new as long as we possibly can. New clothes even does something about us, makes us feel good about ourselves, especially when somebody comes up to you, "Oh, is that new?" Y'all want to know something funny? I wore a new suit last week or a couple of weeks ago, and all people noticed was the tie. They all trying to figure out, "Is that a new tie?" And I didn't want to ruin what they were saying about the tie, but the tie I've had for about 15, 20 years or so. But it wasn't the tie, it was the suit. It's funny whether you laugh or not. I don't care. You get bored. But there's something about new things that we have a desire to take care of. Get a new house. Anybody ever had a new house before? Nobody else lived in. The joy, you know, you'd be the first one in that place, the one that blessed, first one sleep in that place and all, bless that place and all. Brand new car, new things, you feel good about it. New things. You want to take care of it. New things. New you. Don't treat the new you like the old you. You didn't like the old you. That's why you came to Jesus, so he can make you a new you. Amen? So stop treating you like you're an old beat up Volkswagen. And go ahead and just treat yourself like you are a new Bentley off the flow showroom, whatever you call that. Amen?
Amen.
Treat yourself in the newness of the life that you are. You know how it is. I know I ain't bringing that in here because I don't want that. You don't want the old furniture in the house. You want new blinds. You want shutters. You want new furniture. You don't even want to put the old stuff in the house. I know how that is. You want everything new. You are about who gets in your new car. In the old car, you don't care. Bubba could get in there with mud on his shoes and everything, and he could sit down and, you know, you don't even care. But a new car, you even particular about how they open the door. Amen? Amen, don't sit on my car. You might scratch the paint. Old car, you don't care. So you're new every day. Sister Chanel, you're new. Treat yourself like you are in the newness of Christ Jesus. Amen. Stop trying to bring old stuff into you. Amen. I want that new smell. I ain't gonna dirty it up with some of this old stuff that I used to, you know, mess around with. Paul says this, and then I'm gonna stop for the third times. Third times. That means I get more three times. Paul said this. I forgot what he said. It was good. It was one of the things he said. So anyways, and maybe the Holy Ghost said stop. Okay. Lay hands on the person next to you, if you don't mind. I hope you don't mind people laying hands. I hear some laughing over there. What y'all doing over there? Just because y'all husband and wife. Taking a keto, behave yourself. Wait till you get home. You're married, so wait till you. I don't know what they did, but I don't need to know either. Father, in Jesus' name, we take the authority that you have released in and upon our lives to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Father, as simple as your word is, it's as simple as we need it to be. I lay my hands on a new creation in Christ Jesus. I speak your word over my brother and sister whose body my hand is on. And I say to them that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. And Lord, I won't try and release any old stuff into them, even as they won't try and release any old stuff in me. But Father, that we will help each other to release the newness of life that you have instilled in us through Christ Jesus. Father, let there be a transference of the power of your blessing upon my brother or upon my sister, that as we lay hands and touch and agree, may love flow, may grace flow, may power flow. May the new man in Christ arise, and that we will ever live, Lord God, to declare your glory in the earth, that we are the family of God, and we are about our Father's business. And so right now, Father, we release the power of the blessing. We speak over our brothers and sisters that the Lord our God bless you, and the Lord our God keep you, and make his face shine upon you, and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless my brother, I bless my sister, in your precious name. Amen.